This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
If you are running a business focused on growth, your immediate thought process, it tends to center on just one thing: lead acquisition.
Always. Where are the new opportunities?
Exactly. We often see Q4 as, you know, that final frantic sprint to close out the year.
And then Q1 is the fresh start.
Right. New budgets are defined. And traditionally, the main strategy during these months is just chasing the next big client.
And that deeply ingrained focus, I mean, while it's essential for survival, it really hides one of the biggest bottlenecks to sustainable scaling.
Okay.
So our mission today is to take a deep dive into what the industry is calling seasonal retention campaigns.
Seasonal retention campaigns.
Yeah. We are going to map out exactly how to stop viewing Q4 and Q1 as simply a budget cycle and start using it as a deliberate strategic framework.
For what? Exactly.
For securing renewals and building, you know, ironclad long-term client loyalty.
So we're talking about moving the focus from that constant expensive pressure of new client hunting.
To protecting the revenue you already have.
Because neglecting existing clients during this year-end transition, that's kind of the silent killer of growth, isn't it?
It absolutely is. The data we've reviewed confirms it. The biggest factor in preventable churn happens in these two quarters.
Wow.
Yeah. Companies get so busy closing deals, they just stop proactively proving their value to their existing portfolio.
And then what happens?
Well, the moment a client starts evaluating performance for next year's budget, if you haven't already given them the ammunition they need to defend you, you're already losing.
You're on the back foot.
Completely. So a good retention strategy, it just fundamentally reduces that dependency on continuous high-cost acquisition. It's about building stability into your revenue forecast.
Okay, that immediately begs a question for me. How is this different from just, you know, generic client management?
Right.
Because if I send a holiday basket, that's retention, right?
That's a lovely gesture, it is, but it's not a campaign.
Okay.
We are talking about highly specific strategic touch points. Four of them, to be exact. And they're timed perfectly to intersect with the client's internal budget cycle and their psychological cycle, too. We're using the unique pressures of year-end and, you know, the optimism of the new year.
To what?
To reprove, reinforce, and expand your existing value proposition.
Excellent. Let's set the stage a bit more. Where does this strategy even come from?
Well, the structure for these campaigns and the metrics we're about to discuss, it comes directly from high-growth firms. Specifically from the world of PPC and SEO specialists.
Ah, so people who live and die by the numbers.
Exactly. They live and die by ROI tracking. So this means every single campaign we're about to detail, it has to be built on hard, undeniable, numbers-driven success stories.
Got it. Okay, let's dive in.
So to succeed with these campaigns, you first have to really internalize the B2B client mindset during this whole transition. You have to understand the two different hats they're wearing.
Two different hats.
At the same time. Especially if you're working with a CEO or, say, a marketing leader.
So paint the picture for us. What's really consuming their thoughts in Q4?
In Q4, the client's imperative is, well, it's intensely defensive.
Yeah.
And political.
Defensive and political.
Yes. They are focused on two major tasks. First, maximizing their final year results. They need to hit their annual targets or at least look very close.
And second.
Second, and this is crucial, they are justifying next year's budget. To the board, to internal stakeholders, whoever.
So they're going into a closed door meeting and literally arguing for your continuation.
That's it, exactly. And if they don't have the proof, your service is the easiest line item to cut.
So their biggest need is defense documentation. They need beta packaged perfectly to make their job easier.
Precisely. If your retention campaign doesn't provide that defense documentation with hard data in Q4, you fail the first test, period.
And then the calendar flips to January. The pressure shifts.
It shifts from defense to offense.
Okay.
Q1 is pure opportunity. The budget is secured, the slate is clean, and the client is setting ambitious new goals. They're energized by that fresh start.
So your job changes.
Your job shifts immediately from justifying the past spend to positioning your service as the essential engine that helps them smash those new goals.
And if you miss the Q4 opportunity to secure that renewal,
you don't even get invited to the Q1 strategy meeting.
Okay, let's unpack this with the campaigns then. If Q4 is about results and budget justification, let's dive into the two specific retention campaigns for that period.
All right. Campaign number one is absolutely vital. The year-end success review campaign. This isn't just a courtesy. It's a strategic move, a preemptive strike, really.
And the timing has to be everything here. This review needs to land well before their internal budget reviews,
which could start as early as October or November for bigger companies.
Right.
So the goal is to reaffirm immediate, measurable ROI. But as we said, this cannot be your standard monthly report that's just filled with tables.
So what should it be?
It must be a concise, highly visual success highlight reel.
A highlight reel. I like that.
Think of a sharp, maybe 5-slide branded presentation, mm-hmm. or even a single page PDF. It has to be instantly shareable and compelling enough for them to just forward to their boss.
And I think that's a really key distinction. We aren't just reporting, we are providing a ready-made asset for their own internal advocacy.
Exactly.
But what happens though, if the results aren't, you know, stellar, we can't guarantee every client had a banner year.
That's a great question, and that's where the selectivity comes in. This is why the strategy emphasizes focusing on just 3 to 5 key metrics.
Only 3 to 5?
Yeah. You highlight metrics that show efficiency and progression, even if they didn't hit every single top-line goal.
So give us an example.
Well, if we look at the expertise from the PPC specialists who designed this, they focus on things like CPA reduction.
And for those who might not know the acronym, CPA is cost per acquisition.
Exactly. Showing CPA reduction proves that their marketing spend got more efficient over the year.
Okay, I see.
So even if total lead volume wasn't astronomical, the quality and the cost of those leads improved.
What are some other examples?
Maybe competitive keyword rankings you secured that demonstrates market share growth, or even just improvement in website conversion rates. It's about highlighting improvement in high value areas, not just raw volume.
That shift in focus is brilliant. So the strategic outcome is that this report arms the client with these transparent, numbers-driven success stories.
Their internal defense shield.
Right. To defend or even increase their budget for your services next year, it frames you as a cost saver and an efficiency driver.
Precisely. Now, immediately following that success review, or even at the same time, we move to campaign 2.
Which is?
The budget allocation consultation.
Okay, this one sounds more proactive. The goal here is to help the client figure out how to spend any leftover Q4 budget and then set the stage for Q1.
It is absolutely about proactive guidance. You're leveraging that use it or lose it mentality of year-end budgets.
How do you do that?
You proactively offer a limited time session, and critically, you need to label it with some gravitas.
So not just a Q4 check-in?
No. The source materials strongly suggest calling it something like a 2025 strategic growth mapping session.
That sounds much more important.
It elevates it instantly. It's not a check-in, it's an exclusive strategy meeting.
So what are the mechanics of that conversation? How do you move from a talk about Q4 spending to a Q1 commitment without it feeling like a really aggressive upsell?
It's a dual function. You start by identifying where remaining Q4 funds can be used for immediate, high-impact tactical tests.
Like what?
Maybe a short, aggressive Google Ads test in a new region, or some content acceleration. The client is happy because they maximize their final results and use up a budget that might otherwise just expire.
And here's the key, I'm guessing.
Here is the key. You use the results of that short-term Q4 test to justify the larger long-term Q1 strategy.
So you frame the Q4 spend as a low-risk pilot program for the big Q1 plan.
Absolutely. You say, look, we invested this remaining $5,000 in Q4, and we saw X results. Imagine what we can achieve with a full, dedicated Q1 budget of $50,000 implementing this proven strategy across all channels.
You move naturally from closing out the old year to optimizing the next one.
And the Q1 engagement becomes an obvious continuation of a plan you've already proven works.
That sets up Q1 perfectly. So once the budget is secured, thanks to that strong, data-backed advocacy in Q4, Q1, needs a completely different approach.
Totally. It's all about capitalizing on the client's fresh start and their ambitious new goals.
The energy shifts dramatically.
From defense to offense. And the client's desire is immediate momentum. This brings us to campaign 3, the 90-day quick win blueprint.
The goal here, I assume, is immediate re-engagement with a clear, actionable plan, something that demonstrates momentum and justifies that shiny new budget.
Exactly right. Think about that client in the first week of January. They're highly motivated. They're feeling the pressure to deliver against new goals.
They want to hit the ground running.
So if you show up with a personalized, specific 90-day quick win blueprint detailing the first 3 months of strategic focus, you become an accelerator right out of the gate.
What makes a quick win successful in this context? Because 90 days feels long enough to be strategic, but it's also short enough to demand some real urgency.
A quick win has to be visible, and highly actionable. It's not about, you know, huge infrastructure changes.
So tactical.
Very tactical. Mm. It's about, for instance, launching a highly optimized landing page for a specific new product line they're targeting. Or maybe identifying and ranking for 3 high-intent keywords that weren't a priority last year.
Something with a clear result.
It must result in measurable progress that the client can actually talk about by the end of March.
And the relevance of this is huge. It ensures you're aligned with their new fiscal year ambitions, and crucially, it builds immediate confidence.
It confirms they spent that freshly allocated budget wisely.
It creates a psychological momentum.
That's the perfect way to put it. They feel they made the right choice by retaining you. Now for the final campaign, campaign 4, the Competitor Outlook campaign. This one is pure strategic value.
This is where you elevate yourself from being just a task executor
to a strategic thought leader.
I like it.
The action itself is simple. Send out an industry brief or a 2025 competitive outlook report. But, and this is a big but, it cannot be generic.
It has to be specific to them.
It needs to be laser focused on their immediate competition.
So what specific content needs to be in that report to make it indispensable?
It must specifically analyze competitor movement from the end of the previous year and then forecast how that affects the client's Q1 goals.
Can you give an example?
Sure. For example, if a competitor just launched a massive push on Google Ads, you report that finding, and you immediately connect it to the action you were taking this quarter to counter it.
So you're not just reporting a problem, you're presenting the solution.
Exactly. It highlights where their competitors made moves and why your service is already adapting to those threats.
That directly addresses the inherent fear every CEO carries, which is being blindsided by the competition.
It turns that fear into a strategic reason to keep working with you. This report demonstrates proactive market awareness.
And provides a compelling reason to continue and maybe even expand the relationship.
You become their reliable source of competitive intelligence, reinforcing the idea that your service is thinking 3 steps ahead.
That's powerful.
So if we connect all 4 of these strategic campaigns to the bigger picture, you can see how you are building this systematic, continuous loop of value reinforcement.
A system, not just random acts of contact.
Exactly. By deploying the success review, the budget consultation, the quick win blueprint, and the competitor outlook, you are creating these high-value touchpoints.
Touchpoints that provide.
What? The necessary transparency, the hard data, and the strategic foresight the CEO needs at the exact moments they are making those pivotal renewal decisions.
And that system allows you to protect and expand what is arguably the most valuable business metric. LTV.
Client lifetime value.
Right.
Yes. Stabilizing the LTV is what separates a truly scalable business from one that's just stuck on a growth treadmill.
It makes sense.
This systematic approach ensures that the valuable relationship you have built is continuously protected and expanded. You're making your business growth far more predictable.
Much more than if you just rely on, say, random referrals or the endless expensive churn of new lead acquisition.
It's a monumental shift from reactive hunting to proactive relationship protection, just by leveraging the natural business cycle.
And, you know, for the listener who's running a smaller or maybe a leaner team, while these sound like major projects,
they don't have to be.
Right. Remember that the source material shows these strategies are implemented by leveraging measurable data points. It's the results you're already generating.
From your SEO, from your paid media, whatever it is. Mm. The hard work is already done. This strategy is about packaging it for maximum political and psychological effect.
That's a great way to put it.
And this raises, I think, an important question for you, the listener, to mull over.
How often are you relying on generic communication like that standard monthly report versus these data-informed strategic touchpoints? Touchpoints designed specifically to reinforce value at the precise moment the client is making renewal and budget decisions.
That's the real question.
It is.
So take the first campaign idea, the success highlight reel. Compare that concept to your current quarterly or monthly reporting structure. Is your current communication a welcome defense document? Is it something your client actually uses to secure their budget?
Or is it just another PDF that gets ignored and buried in their inbox?
Focusing on that difference, on making your data usable and politically valuable, that seems to be the key to minimizing that preventable churn and securing sustained growth.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.